When I first became a father, I took my responsibilities very seriously to teach my eldest son, Christopher, about life. There were things I wanted him to know, like when you meet someone, you come up to them, you look them in the eye, you extend your hand, and you firmly shake it. I wanted him to know that you get out of things what you put into them, and very importantly, very, very importantly, I wanted him to love riding roller coasters. Lily. So when my son was maybe 3 months old, we started roller coaster training. All right, go! Up and around and sideways, up and down, over and over again, skin the cat, all that stuff. Thank you, Lily Bishop. Thank you very much. This was an essential part of child raising in the Bostrom household, was roller coaster training. God's own truth, I tell you, because it's important. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that most roller coasters have two seats side by side. You're thinking that my wife, Kathy, hates roller coasters. And you're thinking that I wanted my son to love roller coasters so that I would have someone to ride roller coasters with me. So what you're really thinking is this was a self-absorbed, self-centered, even selfish decision. And about that, you are, of course, correct. But more than that, I wanted Chris to know the thrill of traveling at high speed with the wind whipping in your face. I wanted him to know the thrill of that pit in your stomach that happens when you are descending rapidly. I wanted him to know the thrill of airtime as your seat leaves the seat of the roller coaster. I wanted him to know the anticipation, the thrill of the anticipation of click, 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 click until you got to the top and suddenly there was the silence that was followed by the awesome power of gravity. So, it was important riding a roller coaster. Now, if you grow up around here these days, your first roller coaster is over at Six Flags, probably, and it would be Space Lee's Sprocket Rocket, I think. But for you folks, I would bet that for many of you, most of you, your first roller coaster was the Whizzer. The Whizzer, where you go flying down to the steep hill, go along the hill, and then up another hill, and then around turns. Faster and faster, around and around you go, and you keep going around and around. That guy's really a little old to be riding in the front of the Whizzer. Anyway. And it's a blast. It's a blast. Now, the Whizzer is a great start to your roller coaster career. But if you're a real roller coaster rider, the Whizzer is not a place where you stop. No. The Whizzer is fast, but you're looking for something more. You're looking for something higher. You're looking for something steeper. You're looking for something that will challenge you to raise your hands off the bar on the way down. You are looking for a thrill that just might turn your world upside down. You, my friend, are looking for the demon. I can't believe we have this thing in church. You're looking for the demon. I want to thank Chris Wessels, who is a confirmation dad and on the staff at Six Flags, for somehow making this appear in the sanctuary. By the way, you are all sworn to secrecy. Anyway, the demon, I have to admit, in 1976, when I was not yet 20 years old, I came to Six Flags just to ride the demon when it was new. Because you know what? The demon, first of all, it was like almost 90 feet high. There it is, 90 feet high, okay. Oh, first, yeah, you have that little turn, you know, you go down a little bit, and then you go around. You guys know how this works. And then you finally go down the big hill. There we go. And then you go upside down. Not once, but twice in a row. And then later, toward the end of the ride, you're going upside down again. Now, one of the great days of my entire life was being at Six Flags in the summer of 1976 when the park emptied early because it had started to rain and then it stopped raining and we rode the demon 7 times in a row. Didn't have to get out of the car, nothing. That wonderful staff at Six Flags over and over again till we were throwing up. But it was great. Those of you who have motion sickness problems, you may not want to be watching the monitor for the rest of the service. Anyway, now the Demon was a great ride, and it's still a great ride. But if you're a roller coaster lover, you want more, you want higher, you want steeper, you want crazier, you want to ride the roller coaster where your feet dangle or the one where you stand up, you got to do more. And so you keep pushing. And you know, the life of faith is sort of like that. I mean, you can stop with the Whizzer if you want. You can just ride the Whizzer. It's fine. You can stop growing in your faith at your second grade education if you want, or at your confirmation level if you want. But if you really love roller coasters, you're going to keep riding ones that are taller and faster. And if you really want to be a person of faith, if you really love God like you love roller coasters, then you're going to want more. You're going to want to keep looking for the evidence of God out there in the world, for the presence, the signs of God in creation. You're going to want to look for God in the love of parent, brother, sister, child, as the hymn sang, or friends, in the people that you see around you, and the things that people do that have God in them. You're going to ask questions. You're going to say, why is there anything at all? Because, you know, there really doesn't have to be anything at all. But there is. And you're going to want to keep asking questions about what you believe and why you believe it and why it's important to you. Not because it's cool to be a cynic. And, you know, actually, out there in the world, it's pretty cool to be cynic. It's pretty cool to be sarcastic. It's pretty cool not to take things seriously. But that's not why you should ask questions. You should ask questions because you want to know more. More about why it is that you're here. More it is about the one who put you here. And what purpose you have in your life. So don't stop with the Whizzer. And don't stop where you are now. Keep your faith growing. Now here's something you may not know. There are some people in this room who are actually older than you, a lot older than you, I mean really, really older than you, but they know all about this roller coaster stuff. They know all about roller coasters because they went to Riverview. Yeah, there's some applause over there, Riverview, yeah. That kid in the striped shirt on the left, that is me in 1966. I'm lying to you. That's not me. But I look just like that. I look just like that. I wish I'd ridden the bobs. I hadn't. Riverview's where you went to drop in a parachute, to ride the shoot the chutes, and to ride the bobs. Now, the bobs, 87 feet high, 2,400 feet of track. Big deal compared to the numbers on current roller coasters. But you know, people who rode the bobs, who here rode the bobs? Raise your hand if you're, yeah, there's a lot of them here. Okay. People that rode the bobs will tell you that that wooden coaster was way more intense than the wooden coasters today. You're about to see why. This is a little queasy for some of you right here. Sharp turns, you bet. Lots of them, ups and downs, lots of air time. It's a great ride. Somebody said that the bobs was an exercise in terror. There we go, around and around. Yeah, a lot of lunch was lost right about there. Anyway, it's an interesting thing, you know. You look at the people around you, you'd think my generation discovered roller coasters, but no. No, people were riding the bobs at Riverview back in 1924. Well, maybe the bobs wasn't there. Riverview was there, but the bobs weren't too far after that. The bobs were pretty close to after that. Anyway, so when you look at people, you know, who have some age on them, sometimes you don't realize, you don't think about the fact that all of us were kids once. And all of us, somewhere inside, are still kids. There's still a kid inside each and every person. There's a little bit of wonder, a little bit of fear, a little bit of joy. And it's still in there. It's still in everyone. And sometimes we forget that. For those of us older, sometimes we forget it too. And maybe it takes riding a roller coaster to get in touch with it again. Or maybe it's the smell of cotton candy. Or maybe it's riding a memory of riding the carousel with your father's hand on the small of your back to make sure you didn't fall off that horse as it went up and down on the merry-go-round. When we say we're children of God, we're saying that each and every person, each and every one, is a beloved and unique creation of God. But we're also saying that we ought to look at each other that way. That when you look at the person next to you, or the person behind you, the people with the brown hair and the dark hair and the gray hair and the no hair, that we should see a child of God and remember that child that still lives within that person. Sometimes kids need to recognize that very often their elders actually do remember what it's like to be a kid. And sometimes we grown-ups need to reconnect with that kid on the inside if we're really going to be the best grown-ups that we can be. All right, we're on to the big one over at Six Flags now, the Raging Bull, the most largest, tallest, fastest, most thrilling ride in the state of Illinois. Yeah, it's 20 stories up and down, 73 miles an hour. Oh boy. This is the first hyper twister coaster in the world. I have no idea what that means. But I do know, I love riding this thing. I wish I could ride this thing 7 times in a row. I mean, it is the smoothest roller coaster I've ever ridden in my life. It is just a fabulous, fabulous ride. And let me make then perhaps the most obvious point of this confirmation message is that just like on the Raging Bull, there are tons of ups and downs, and the best, they're all good ones, not just the first or the tallest one, they're all good. Just as the Raging Bull is full of ups and downs, your life will be full of ups and downs. You will have plenty of highs and lows, and some of those highs will be most magnificent, wonderful highs that you'll want to hang on to, like your first kiss, or maybe your first one wasn't so great, but the 10th one was pretty awesome, and you want to hang on to that one. And then there are lows. There's no doubt about it. There are lows. There are tragedies. There are sad things that happen that sometimes you think you're so low you're never going to get up again, but you do. Ecclesiastes was talking about that in the scripture right a moment ago, about all the seasons of our lives and all the ups and downs and the experiences we have, and we all have them. Each life is different. Each life gets them in different measure, different proportion, different kind, but we all have them. He starts with the obvious stuff right away. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, clearly. But you know, if you're paying attention at all, you know there are a lot of births in your life. There are a lot of new things that come to be within you. You become a different person. You start a different chapter in your life. You dream a different dream. And if you're paying attention, there are a lot of deaths, a lot of losses in life, too, before that final one, you know. When a door is closed, or when someone you care about moves away, or worse, goes to be with God. A lot of smaller losses, smaller deaths. But even in those, God is still working those births too. There's always a new opportunity, a new hope, a new chance. And God is in the midst of all of that, bringing life out of all those other losses, all those other deaths. There's a time to keep and a time to lose, times you really want to hang on to for your whole life and times you just as soon forget. You probably won't forget them. They're all part of the mix and they're all part of the way God molds our personalities, the way God shapes your character and shapes who you are. And there's a time to love. There are people who come into your life who put their fingerprints on your heart. And some of those people stay there. Some of them don't. But the ones that leave, their fingerprints remain. If Ecclesiastes lived today, I think he'd probably say, life is like a roller coaster. God's in the midst of it all. In fact, God rides the roller coaster with you. And when you dare to let go of the bar and hold your hands up in joy, God's right there with you with his hands up in the air. And when you're holding on for dear life, God's holding on to you for dear life too. God rides the roller coaster of life with you and hangs on to you through the ups and downs and speaks the truth to you during those ups and downs and gets you through the ups and downs. That's what we call the grace of God. Frederick Buechner, writer, said the grace of God is sort of like this. Here's your life. Here's your life. You might never have been, but you are. You are. And the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here's the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. It's for you that I created the universe. I love you. Thus says the Lord. Now, I don't think you'd forgive me if we didn't go for a ride on the world's tallest, fastest roller coaster. Yes, it's the Kingda Ka in New Jersey, Great Adventure, New Jersey. You go from 0 to 128 miles per hour in about 3 seconds. You go up 456 feet, and then you go straight down 456 feet. So you got a couple seconds here before you have to close your eyes, those of you that don't want to go along for the ride. Hold on to the pew. This is the hard part. I haven't ridden the Kingda Ka. Someday, before I die, I want to, because I'm sure it's a great ride. But I'll tell you this, it's not the best thrill ride. The greatest thrill ride is life. The greatest thrill ride is the one you're on right now. It's the life God has given you. You ride a roller coaster, and it's great, it's exciting, but boy, as soon as you're done, the pit in your stomach's gone, and you know, that's it, you have to ride again. But the thrill that lasts is when you take what God's given you, the gifts and abilities and the personality and all of it, and you put it together to create a unique and wonderful you. The thrill that lasts is when you do something, you say something, you choose to live your life in such a way that you touch the life of another human being. Man, that's a thrill that stays with you your whole life. The thrill that lasts is when you choose by what you do and what you say to become part of what the Hebrews call tikkun olam. The Jews and Hebrews say tikkun olam, the healing, the helping of the world. Now today, you're going to profess your faith and join the church, and by doing that, you're buying a ticket. You're buying a ticket for that thrill ride that is the life of faith. But the truth is, each and every day, we have the opportunity to buy a ticket, to choose to be the person God's calling us to be, to choose to make a difference in someone else's life, to choose to be part of tikkun olam, to be part of the healing of the world. And that, my friends, is the real thrill ride. Thanks be to God. Amen.